Jamie Locker here in the Green Zone for the music taste today. We are talking about your probably number one song you were listening to. Doug from Swift Current said playing House of the Rising Sun on my guitar was probably his number one song of the year. Maybe you got a Spotify rap. Maybe it's Apple. Well, or maybe you just want to go, I'd probably listen to this song in 2025 more than anything else. 1-877-332-8255.
Good tune.
Is the family here on the Green Zone. Well, we're going to go to Washington, D.C. That's where the Kennedy Center is. That's where the World Cup draw was. And that's where Lee Cormish is, freelance writer. And, of course, part of the Voyageur, the Canadian super fans who follow the national football team / soccer team around for the World Cup draw. Lee, how was the day so far?
Jamie, the anticipation leading up to the draw today, my goodness, you can feel it. You got hundreds of fans that are also working as media, and everyone wants to know who their country is going to play. It is Christmas morning for the World Cup soccer fans around the globe.
Lee.
Instead of us opening up presents, we watch Shaquille O'Neal and Wayne Gretzky do it.
I just want to make sure that you're aware of the award that you've received today.
We're just making up awards today.
You're the most positive person in Washington, so congratulations.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you. I will cherish that.
Yeah.
Okay, was today's hour and 40-minute preamble
weird?
Was that longer than usual? Like, I tried to remember back to the Qatar one in the 8 years, but I couldn't rack my brain if that was longer than any of the other preambles we've seen previous.
Yeah, it was, you know. Usually you got 45 minutes, and then they start to draw the lot. But we were over an hour into that, and it kind of felt like it was dragging on. Like, I mean, the home country's got its props, and they want to do their little spin on things. But there were some real awkward moments on stage.
Thank you, because I kept looking at Jamie and going, this doesn't seem like it's going well. Like, and Kevin Hart, like, listen, I'm not a huge fan, but he's generally pretty good in front of a crowd. But it was falling really, really flat. I'm glad you said that, because I wasn't sure if it was just something that we were noticing here because of the television, how it was being covered or something.
But what's it like for you? Like, you're a super fan. You're we were saying, draw the teams already.
Okay, let's go. What? Come on. Yeah.
Are you
pull the pots out?
Are you fidgeting there too? Going, okay, let's get on with the show. We want to find out who's Canada's playing.
Yeah, like the first song came on, which is every World Cup fan will, you know, be serenaded by Andrea Bocelli anytime with that Italia 90 song. And then Robbie Williams and Nicole Scherzinger came on with their song. And then some rap groups came on, and I'm just like, come on, can we get going here?
Well, they did get going. Let's go, you know, blow by blow. So when it comes to Canada, poor Tom Brady. He put too much hand lotion on, I think, to twist the balls for one.
But that was something that we figured might have been happening.
There. Pot two, Switzerland was the fifth highest ranked team in that pot. What do you think of drawing Switzerland? Who will they play last in the group stage on June 24th?
The real thing there was to avoid a couple of teams, and that was Croatia, Morocco, and Colombia. As long as we avoided those three, I think we would have been okay. Would like to have someone like Australia or Ecuador, but we'll take Switzerland. It's okay. It's the third game of the group, like you said.
And Qatar, what do we know about that squad, and how do we feel about them being in Group B with Canada?
They underperformed at their home World Cup 4 years ago. I don't see much of a threat from them. I had a fist pump in the air when I saw that Qatar getting drawn, because it could have been worse than that. I think we got pretty much the best team we could have from that pot.
Lee Cormish joining us, of course, a Canadian soccer super fan, freelance writer as well. You can read some of his soccer stuff in the Star Phoenix. But, okay. pot four. We were all in the Green Zone Lounge going, come on, Wayne, don't draw playoff A from Europe. Italy's in that, and he draws playoff A, Italy, Wales, Northern Ireland, Bosnia still have to play their way in. We were a little ticked off at old Wayner there, Lee. What did you think when you saw that the potential could be there that you have to take on Italy in the first game of the host World Cup?
We knew it was a 50-50 chance. Because of geographics, we couldn't draw some of the other teams in pot four. So we knew it was 50-50 that we would get a European team. So it was either get a European team and we've got a tough group, or get one of the other four, and we're coasting. And Wayne Gretzky did us in. 11 balls in that bowl that he had. 11-1. And he pulled the one ball no one wanted to see. Wayne Gretzky did us in. Can you believe that?
I couldn't.
Is there something to be said, though, to have a little bit of competition in the front end of this tournament? Like, listen, I don't follow soccer well, football, but I do see this in other sports, especially hockey, when you don't have competition, when you don't get tested on the front end of these round robins, sometimes you can get a little complacent and it can hurt you down the road. Is there something to be said about that with respect to Italy possibly being one of Canada's matchups in that Group B?
Locker. The answer is yes and no. Soccer is a little bit different because even if we drew like Cabo Verde in that last pot, you need to get a win in the World Cup or you're really behind it. So you kind of grow your confidence as the tournament goes on. But yes, you want to face big competition in the first game if you flip the coin to the other side, which is what we're going to face, because yeah, you want to come out and you want to play a good team like that. So, and it's the World Cup. It's the World Cup of soccer. How much better can you have it than playing Italy, the Italians, the Azzurri in Toronto on your home field?
So Italy dropped a little bit. I was listening to Matthew Schinetti, I forget which Italian footballer he caught up with, but even they were saying, yeah, we feel good, but Italy isn't the dominant force. They lost 4-1 to Norway. That's why they have to play in. Is Italy actually not as strong as maybe people remember back, 8, 12 years ago and beyond when they were at the top nearly winning World Cups?
Yeah, they aren't. That's a fact. And you know what? We shouldn't get ahead of ourselves here, Jamie, because they still have to play Northern Ireland. And then so the way it worked is they have to play Northern Ireland in a single game in March, and then they're going to play the winner of Wales, Bosnia-Herzegovina, which by FIFA draw, Wales, Bosnia-Herzegovina won the coin toss, so they're going to host whoever wins out of Italy and Northern Ireland. So Italy is no shoo-in, but you know what? Everyone's saying it's Italy. So, but yes, they're not as good as they used to be. I mean, the European qualifiers is a little bit of a weird thing. I don't really like the format. You get five or six teams in your pool and only one goes through. So if you draw a tough team, you're up against it. And for Italy, they just ran into a very difficult, hot Erling Haaland Norway side. So they lost that game, and yeah, now they've got to go through the back door.
So with the World Cup this year, Lee, they've opened it up a little bit to include more countries. So we went from over 40 to what used to be just 32. And with the format when it was 32, it was quite often you would see what is referred to as a group of death. Do we have anything that is close to that, or is it somewhat diminished with the increased participation from around the world?
I don't like the 48 teams. I never have. I don't like it from the beginning. They want to get more involvement from around the world. But if you're going based truly on talent and a quality World Cup, 32 teams is the number. And I'm a bit of a traditionalist, so The 32 is the number for me. I don't like these 16 extra teams. And here's the thing, is it really waters down their group stage. This is now becoming some type of NCAA knockout format. And the tournament, I've talked about this, we've got the group stage, but then now it's a knockout tournament from the round of 32. I think there's a lot of teams that are going to have a real easy ride through the group stage. It really changes the way teams play. But as far as the group of death goes, it's very balanced. I'm trying to find a group of death, and you just can't label one. I haven't heard anyone name one of these, and I just don't see it. It's well balanced.
Yeah, I was going through it. It's like, oof.
Like Group L.
Well, England drew Croatia, but England's going to beat Panama and Ghana. Like, let's be real. Unless there's a stunning upset somewhere, the road, but that's in any World Cup where the road gets a little more tricky. But overall, Lee, what do you think Canada's chances are of getting into that group of 32, the final 32?
We'll be there. We will be there. Jesse Marsh will prepare these guys. Alphonso Davies, it depends on how fit and how good Alphonso Davies is. He's our key performer, but we've got a good coach. We've got a good, likable team, and they've shown some results. If we win our group and we go to the round of 32, it's possible. It's possible, but Switzerland's good now. Switzerland can beat teams. So it'll be tricky, that third game for us. But let's say we win the group. I got two scenarios for you. We win the group. We go to the round of 32. If we win that game, we play the winner of Portugal, Colombia. So the round of 16 is very difficult for us. But if we finish second, and let's say Mexico finishes second, somehow someone beats them in that group A, we will face Mexico, Canada versus Mexico in LA. So there's a lot of interesting scenarios to play out. Canada's going to get through the group. They're going to smash Qatar, and we're going to get one or two results, maybe a draw, maybe two draws against the two European teams, maybe a win and a draw. Maybe Swiss might beat us too.
It's going to be tense. And of course, it starts against Italy or Wales or Bosnia or Northern Ireland June 12th in Toronto. The next two games, the 18th and 24th of June in Vancouver. Lee, thanks so much. Safe travels.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the most positive person in Washington today, Lee Cormish.
Hopefully he gets a bigger
congratulations.
Trophy. He should get a bigger trophy than Trump. That's all I got to say. Yeah. Lee.
I want to thank my parents for this award, and you know what, Jamie and Locker, I thank you very much for that.
Lee, safe travels back. Thanks for your time, man.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks, Locker.
That is Lee Cormish joining us.
I like that kid.
He is in Washington at the draw, and as he said, Wayne Gretzky.
His passion.
Of all people, Wayne gives us possibly the worst match to start the tournament out of all the scenarios that could, one out of 11 chance, and Wayne picks that one. Of course, at least he had a Canadian pin on this time. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I know that last night we let the liquor talk. I can't remember everything we said, but we said it all. You told me that you wish I was somebody you never met, but baby, something's telling me this ain't over yet. No way it was.
I apologize. Kristen Willowbunch said my jam this year was I'm the Problem by Morgan Wallen. That is not that song, but a little Morgan Wallen anyways. For Chris in Willowbunch, didn't have the other one in the system. 1-877-332-8255.
He was the guest on Saturday Night Live or something, and what happened there? And he got sent home?
Yeah.
He was drinking? He was partying too much or something?
It was a bit of a mess. He did come back, though.
He did come back. They had him back, but they sent him home.
Then there was the racial slur thing. That
is that what it was?
That was either after or before, around that same time.
It wasn't a good couple of months for
Morgan Wallen.
I don't know anything about this artist.
He got uncanceled. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. The Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. Let's tell you who's playing for $200. Almost raised the jackpot there. $200. Brian Riley of Allen, Saskatchewan. If one of the 12 games tomorrow in the National Hockey League starts with a goal in the first 20 seconds, Brian wins $200. If not, the jackpot will go to $300 for next week's NHL action. And yes, you can still sign up at cjme.com and ckom.com. Trevor Harris is happy to be back in Saskatchewan, and he thinks some others will follow.
People want to be here. You know, it's become a destination, whereas, you know, as before, people are like, oh, it's really cool, the Rider Nation, go play for the Rider. It's a destination now.
And it's a destination for Tommy Stevens as well. The short yardage automatic quarterback signed a 2-year extension with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders today. The World Cup draw held earlier today. Switzerland, Qatar, and a team from Europe that will be determined in March, likely going to be Italy, will take on Canada in Group B at next summer's World Cup. The Jets back home against Buffalo tonight after losing to Buffalo on Monday. The Canucks are home to the Utah Mammoth. Utah sits in the West, second wild card spot. The Canucks are, you have to keep scrolling down. They're at the bottom right now of the Western Conference. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little hockey with Drew Remenda, who says he has a story. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Friday. Mistress for Christmas. That is for you, Tony. Tony is also asking, if Canada faces England in the World Cup, who will Sarah Mills cheer for? LOL.
We had that conversation today. Yeah, and
it's one of the young pure journalists in the newsroom. Sarah, if Canada plays England, who do you cheer for? And I went, what are you thinking?
No. We knew what happened. She opened up Pandora's box.
It's England. Her and her dad have been, this is their thing. Is England and soccer and having them win a World Cup.
They live here.
Yeah.
They do not cheer for the soccer team.
No. They are from England. And it's like an alma mater in a university. Like, you're not, you can take the kid out of England, and you're not taking England out of the kid when it comes to Sarah Mills. So that answers that question.
Yeah.
But Tony, thanks for the request on All Request Friday here on the Green Zone. Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins are in the same hotel, apparently, as the San Jose Sharks. And our NHL analyst, Drew Remenda, wanted to start the segment with a story.
I'm coming into the hotel, and behold, I see Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang, because Pittsburgh's here after their game last night. Talked to them for a while. He says hi, by the way, guys.
Name dropping Drew Remenda, just hanging out with Sid and Chris Letang.
Yeah. So we talk a little bit, and then in comes Mack Linson, and Sid's talking to me about Mack Celebrini, just the motor on the guy and how driven he is and everything else. And then in comes Mack Celebrini and Will Smith. Those four guys stand there for about 15 minutes, just laughing and talking hockey. And as Chris and Sid got the day off, so they're going Christmas shopping. They walk away, and then Macklin and Will turn, and they're the kids that they are, right? 20 and 19, and they just got this big smile on their face, and they're walking like walking on clouds.
Sidney Crosby just talked to us about hockey, man. It's awesome.
15 minutes, those two guys. It was pretty cool. I sat there the whole time and took pictures, and of course, I put them on my social media site so you can check in there.
Good luck finding it, everybody. Good luck finding
it. Right off the bat, eh? Two lies right off the bat.
Yeah, I had you down for Pink Pony Club, to be quite honest, Drew.
Did somebody explain that yet?
No.
Nobody's explained it. Was it ironic that they used that song, or what was
probably
the deal with...
They just said that they heard it. They were out having dinner one night at a restaurant/bar, the whole team, yeah, and that song came on, and somebody jokingly said they should make that their goal song or their celebration song or something, and everyone thought it was really funny, and so they went with it, and they just didn't let anybody know why
they picked that song. Okay. Yeah, so I figure it was a little ironic or a little
tongue-in-cheek.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, before we forget, we have to come up with an award.
We're making up awards today. World Cup draw.
I got Britain's coming in. Yeah. I got him covered. Let me think about Drew.
Yeah. Oh, I have many awards I can give Drew Remenda.
Can we give him the name dropping award for the day?
Oh, ladies, name dropper of the year, Drew
right
Remenda.
Here. Drew Remenda.
Listen. Robert De Niro told me never to do that, but I shouldn't have done that.
Okay, speaking of Sidney Crosby and Macklin Celebrini, Drew.
Oh, good. Olympic talk. Are they going to play hockey?
Locker and I are like, they're not going to actually. Like Bill Daly said, we'll pull the pin if it's not ready, but they wouldn't actually do that, would they?
You're darn right they will.
Really?
You're darn right they will. If it's not ready, I don't believe there is no plan B. I don't believe they're going. I believe we'll have 2 weeks off of hockey, period. You know, there'll be AHL, we'll be on, junior hockey will be on. But I believe that Mr. Daly and Mr. Bettman are 100% serious. And the other thing is, in this regard, what they're concerned about, too, would be the actual ice conditions.
Yeah.
And... first off, Mike Sullivan said it yesterday, that the NHL ice as is, the 85 by 200, is too small for today's players. I agree with him 100%. It is the players are bigger, they're faster. The way the game is played now, it's all about check, 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 check. How many scrums a game do we get? And I agree with him that the rink should be bigger. I can remember back when I started broadcasting in 96. 97, whenever Patty Marleau came in the league, we went to an NHL broadcasting conference where basically the NHL executives just tell you how much you suck at what you're doing. But Brian, it's true. It's true. It's like, wow, is this an every year thing? But Brian Burke was working for the league then, and Brian Burke certainly strongly suggested that all these new rinks coming in back in 97, that they should have a situation where they can expand the rink to Olympic size, which is 100 by 200. So an extra 7.5 feet on each side. And it didn't take, because that meant some teams would have had to have taken out seats, and goodness knows you don't want to take out seats because that takes out revenue. But Brian Burke was ahead of the curve on that. I agree that I think that 4 feet might make a difference, but also the actual ice conditions. Do you want Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or Macklin Celebrini or Nathan MacKinnon, or on and on and on it goes about all the great players that are going to be in the Olympics? Do you want them on what some of us would go, it's a little sketchy out there?
So I have a question, because everybody has a very different opinion on what's going to happen. And a lot of the conversation is based around, ironically, ego of the NHL and ego of the IOC. The one thing that I haven't heard is whether or not the NHLPA would have a voice in a decision like this.
They
would, right? So it's one thing for them to say, for Bill Daly to say, hey, listen, if we don't like what we see, we're pulling our players. But technically, he can't say that, because the NHLPA might step in. Am I wrong, Drew?
I believe you're correct, but the only situation is that this was agreed upon based on the new collective bargaining agreement. One of the things that the players were, what they gave up, and they, a certain issues, gave up on certain issues, or at least acquiesced on certain issues to go to that one caveat: we want to be in the Olympics. But I don't know the language of the CBA. I don't know what the addendums are or anything like that. If it becomes a safety issue, because the NHL honestly, who wants to shut down their league in the middle of the, well, not even the middle, right? You know, two-thirds into the season,
yeah,
and say, we're going to shut this down and we're going to send them over there. And for the last number of years when they were in the Olympics, they didn't get the rights fees, the rights images or video or anything like that. The IOC was, screw you guys. We're just going to do whatever we want, and you guys can't do anything about it. Now, the IOC won't have anything to say about it. They can't. I think there's probably a safety issue in there as far as how what the players and the NHL expect. But the NHL, and they know how important it is to the players. They'll try to do everything they can. But when the safety issue comes up, that might be the kicker. And if they don't have a building, they don't have a building. They can play outside.
Islanders, goalie interference, that first goal.
I thought it was.
How is it? I thought it was too.
Because he takes out the legs of the goalie. Was it Blackwood or Wedgwood?
It was Blackwood. He got up. I was surprised wasn't called back. But when he moved, the puck was still there. It was visible.
You cannot. That doesn't matter. You cannot push the pads of the goaltender, knock him down, which then inflicts his ability to make a save. And he didn't have that ability because he was on his ass and he's on his back.
One of the Islanders' sticks was stuck in his pad, exactly. And I was like, what?
The problem is that the black and white in the rule book is because of the wording in it, there's a lot of gray area where the guys who are making this decision, the referees and the situation room that they're going through it, there's a lot of different things that they talk about. It's a lot of it is due to interpretation. And sometimes it's with the handbook and they look back and, oh, you know, or the referee's handbook where a case study where they look back and go, oh, remember, we didn't call that one then. We can't call that one now. It's very subjective and sometimes very opaque as far as the ability to see what they're talking about. I would think they would do themselves tons of a favor if they would explain it to us, if they would do it like they used to do suspension when Patrick Burke was in charge of everything, where they put the video out and say, this is why we thought it was a goal or we didn't think it was a goal.
I think it was a goal because when he adjusted, when he got up and adjusted his pads, the puck was visible again.
So what?
The Islander's stick is still wedged in his pad.
He shouldn't have been in that situation. First, the number one thing was, number one, where is contact made? If it was made in the blue paint, how was contact made? Was the guy pushed in or did he go in on his own? Did he go in deliberately?
But he's allowed to go after the puck if it's still bouncing around in there. Isn't he, Drew?
But you're not allowed to make contact with the goaltender when you're doing that.
Yeah, he pitchforks Blackwood.
It's the same thing. Exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing as pushing the goaltender's pads into the net with the puck underneath and you say that's a goal. It should have been, but, you know, Jared Bednar put it great, and I'm glad Jared Bednar and John Cooper spoke out yesterday about some of these calls that are coming because we need the coaches, especially those very highly regarded, the two longest standing coaches with their franchises and two of the best in the world. We need them to start saying things. But again, don't blame the situation. I don't blame the situation room and the guys, although I really want to, because they're no fans of mine. And I don't blame the referees. I blame the general managers because when they get together in these meetings that they have all the time, they're the ones that are sitting around discussing this. When Colin Campbell comes in and talks to them about rules, they are the ones that are sitting around discussing this type of stuff and has allowed the language to get a little bit muddied and instead of just sticking to the original intent of the rule.
That is Drew Romenda, our NHL analyst here on The Green Zone on a Friday night. Jamie and Locker with you on the Green Zone. We wrap up the week like we do every night. Champs and Chumps directly ahead on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ and one chump. The chump is having to sit through the hour and a half FIFA preamble before the draw in which Gianni Infantino, the FIFA president, made up a trophy to give to Donald Trump because Infantino thought Trump should have won the Nobel Peace Prize. So he made up a trophy called the FIFA Peace Prize and gave it to Donald Trump. And we all had to sit through that. That was quite the display of
hubris.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. Anyways, they could have done that at the White House in the Oval Office. They didn't have to drag the whole world through it while we waited for one of the most important sports draws of all time every 4 years.
Brutal.
Oh, my God.
Brutal.
Okay, let's brighten up people's lives, okay, today. The post from Ryan Reynolds is a champ thing with Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman, Ryan Reynolds teaming up for Sick Kids Hospital.
This made me laugh.
In Toronto. it's pretty much kids in Toronto they're giving some trash talk to Freddie Freeman a little bit because of the World Series stuff and beating the Blue Jays.
It's really funny.
It's Ryan Reynolds, right? It's going to be funny. But they are donating. Everyone who can, please donate before December 24th. All donations will be matched up to $1 million. That's from Ryan Reynolds and Freddie Freeman. But I'm just going to retweet this right now. You can go watch it.
Go watch the video. It's very funny.
Jamie and I.
Good champ. That's a good champ. And Freddie Freeman for being a good sport, too. He was hilarious.
I love that one's a really good one.
Hey, kids. It's me, Freddie Freeman.
What a loser.
Trust me, man. We know who you are.
You've really got some nerve coming here.
It's a great video. There's your champ today. Meanwhile, the one-minute drill. I'll have more coming up on the day in review. But the World Cup draw has a team from Europe that'll be decided in March, likely Italy, in Canada's Group B with Switzerland and Qatar. They will begin the tournament in Toronto against that European team yet to be decided. Hockey tonight, the Canucks against Utah, the Winnipeg Jets back at home against Buffalo. And that's it for the week, Locker. You're dismissed.
Let's go.
You're dismissed. Eggnog this weekend?
No. Too early.
It's never too early for eggnog.
Sticking to my guns.
One of our listeners already down 3 liters, apparently. Rum supplies also on low. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.